From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 16th day of May 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. A bit later in the program, Ben Proust will be here. He's from the Andersons facility in Everly, Iowa, to take a look at the cash grain market. And we'll discuss the weather forecast today with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Friday afternoon. The nearby soft red winter wheat, that's also the harvest month, your July contract at $6.74 and a quarter. It finished down 4 cents for the day. September at $6.83 and a quarter, down 3 and 3 quarters. The hard red July at $7.67 and 3 quarters, 11 cents lower. Corn pit now, July futures, $4.83 and a half. Remember the maize all expired yesterday, down 3/4 of a cent. September $4.81 and a quarter, a quarter higher. December at $4.81, that's up a half. In the March at $4.89, up a half. May corn of next year, $4.94 and 3 quarters, up a half. In July at $5 even, a settlement price a half cent higher. July soybeans, $14.65, down 5 and a quarter. The August at $13.99 and 3 quarters, down 2. September at $12.74, up a quarter. November beans at $12.21 and a half, 3 and 3 quarters higher. In January at $12.27 and a quarter, up 3 and a half cents. March contract, $12.31, 3 and a quarter higher. In May of next year at $12.33 and 3 quarters. That finished 3 and 3 quarters higher. July soybeans, $12.37 and a half, up 2 and a half cents for 2015. July bean meal at $480.20, down $1.20. And July bean oil at $40.75, that's down 29 cents. Live cattle futures nearby June, $137.90, up 50 cents. The August feeders at $193.32 and a half, are up 90 for the day. And the June lean hogs at $118.92 and a half, finished 50 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Can't do that. Just call this number, 217-333-3434. Updated twice daily with some numbers and analysis. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, June contract, $102.01. That's up 51 cents. June gasoline, or the RBOB wholesale price, $2.97 and a tenth, 0.7 cents higher. June ethanol at $2.24, 6 and 4 tenths higher, and the difference between the two is now a 0.73 and a tenth of a cent. That's the spread. It's 5 and 6 tenths of a cent narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.41 and 9 tenths, 5 cents lower, and diesel fuel at $2.95 and 6 tenths. That's 6 tenths of a cent higher. Gold futures trading at $1,293.40 when they finish the day, down 20 cents in the dollar at 80.03 on the 10-minute delay. That's up 0.03 on the afternoon. Let's take a look at the weather forecast as it comes from the Urbana-Champaign, or from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Hopefully no more snowfall. That didn't happen here, but it did in the northern part of the state. For this afternoon, our area should see showers, likely mostly cloudy, a high of 53 degrees on a northwest wind at 8 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation set at 60% tonight. Showers mainly before 7 in the evening, mostly cloudy, a low of 37. Saturday, a 20% chance of rainfall. Sunny skies then, a high of 60 degrees. A west wind at 3 to 7. And Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 38. West, northwest winds at 5 to 17 miles an hour. They'll be calm in the evening. Sunny skies on Sunday with a high of 67. Clear Sunday evening. That'll drop us to a 46-degree low. And on Monday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 70. Monday evening, cloudy and 55. Tuesday, sunny skies and 77 degrees. Tuesday night, cloudy and 61. Wednesday, sunny and 82. And Wednesday night, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, and a low of 63. 82 degrees on Thursday and partly sunny. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour. on the phone line with us this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures markets here on the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on this 16th day of May is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, the northern part of Illinois saw snow in Rockford and DeKalb, and gosh, I even saw a snowman, and I think that's where that came from. That's really something else on the 16th day of May.
Yeah, and this comes in the aftermath of Kankakee and Pontiac and, you know, over into Indiana and the northern third and the northern third of Illinois, a good chunk of it, you know, seeing 1.5 to 3.5 inches of rain from last weekend and early this week. And so there are certainly areas that the trade could focus on if it wanted to regarding the corn planting, you know, the northern tier, especially with Minnesota still way behind along with Wisconsin and Michigan. But this week was all about the USDA report igniting that seasonal technical break to the downside, and that especially in the early part of the week. And no May, you mentioned the May expiration of futures, and the May expiration of futures not igniting any kind of fireworks when the July took over or when the May went off the board. And so we saw a real strong conviction by the funds to unwind spreads. And, you know, the most surprising and the biggest winner on the week to me, given the USDA report, was November beans, down only 3.75 on the week, and that's with a new crop carryover of 330 million bushels, and USDA saying global soybean ending stocks at the end of next year will be an all-time new record. So kind of tells you what the funds were up to this week, not really looking at the supply-demand fundamentals as much as probably looking at the technicals and looking at the seasonality of the grain markets.
No, indeed. So we have November beans, in your mind, a winner because it didn't go down. But on the other hand, let's see, corn in the July down 24 cents on the week, December down 17.75. I suppose that had to do with USDA's bigger than expected, I don't know whether it's bigger than expected, but 1.7 billion bushel carryout for next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think what happened in the corn, and this maybe is a stretch trying to connect the two dots here, but I heard a lot about the El Nino special reports that came out. You know, the CPC came out earlier, and I think it might even been before the USDA report last week, and they said 65% chance of El Nino, and the trade really didn't look at that too much as far as pricing it in. But then there was a couple fresh reports that came out this week, one global, and it said, you know, essentially we're on our way to an El Nino year, and that's typically pretty good for the center part of the United States. And I guess what I think happened, Todd, was in the corn, in the case of the corn, especially the December contract, is the trade said 165 USDA yield, El Nino. Okay, that makes sense. We can do that. I think we're a long way from getting there, but I think oversimplifying the whole situation, that's probably what the big factor in corn was this week, along with the fact that, again, the spreading continued. Did you realize that the November beans gained on the Dease corn to the point, almost 20 cents, to the point, though, that ratio is now back to where it was on December 30th. So we have essentially erased all the corn premium to bid up acres as we are still going into the planting. And I think this may sway some bean acres if you don't already have your chemicals down and you're in DeKalb, Illinois, or Pontiac, Illinois, and you're sitting here saying, golly, it's going to be May 24th next week. Do I have the ability to get corn in and have it come up, or should I go ahead and maybe move over into some bean acres?
And I suppose that might even be a more important decision if you're in the northern parts of Minnesota.
Absolutely.
If you're in the Dakotas. Yeah. I saw, I think today, on one of the Twitter feeds where a guy had dug down 3 feet and found frozen water in his tile. He was wondering why it hadn't dried out, and I guess he knows now.
Excellent point. Look at spring wheat. I mean, you know, look at where we were. We were almost three times behind where we should be on the five-year average for planting, but spring wheat, along with hard red, which got another frost this week and no rain, was able to lead the drive to the downside. So, again, I don't think you're trading micro fundamentals. If I had to pick at something that I didn't like this week, it was yesterday's trade where we had the macro risk-off wholesale fire sale type mindset in all the asset classes across the board. And except for natural gas, that was because the Department of Energy and their infinite wisdom decided to change how we look at the storage figures, and they're doing that as we go into the summer cold the summer heating degree units time period. So let's hope we don't have a very warm summer in the Northeast, because that natural gas could be quite exciting thanks to the new way we figure the storage.
Hold it, I didn't hear what they did. What they do?
Well, I didn't go into the specifics, but right. I know that they kind of took away some of the storage. I don't know whether it was in the salt, the previous salt mines, or how they did it, but they went ahead and essentially took some storage off of the market, and that allowed the market was up 4 or 5% on Thursday after that announcement was made.
But of course the trade won't pay enough attention to it, and they'll forget about it, and the numbers will look skewed to them eventually, even if they don't today.
Right.
Speaking of skewed, let's go back to the corn just a bit. I'm wondering, do you think that the trade in general has built too much premium into the corn, or too much discount into the corn market at this point?
Yeah, I mean, if I just answered it from a standpoint of the last 5 years, there was only 1 year, and that was last year. The 2013 December corn made its high in January before we even got planted. But if you look at 2009, that high was in June. If you look at 2010, it was in November. 2011 and 2012, both in August. And I think just from that standpoint, and I still believe fundamentally, Todd, that if the hard red wheat combines roll and the yield monitors show disappointing yields, the trade is not prepared for that. I really feel like the trade is in a mindset that it's going to be like last year in the hard red wheat belt, where the tour said it was bad, but by the time they got combining, it was much better than expected. So between the seasonality and the historical, the last 5 years of Dease corn and when we make the highs, and the likelihood, I think, being very fair and very good that we could go back up and challenge the old highs in hard red wheat with harvest problems, I think, yeah, you still have another run up in the corn very likely, and the discount could be very prevalent. And this is where I think livestock feeders really need to be on point here as they head into the 1st of June, because both meal and corn could be one of the best things to lock in to protect your break-evens.
Yeah, there are things that happen in the near term and then in the longer term. So let's start with the hard red winter wheat. You're 500 miles closer than I am. Do you hear anything about whether there's much of a difference between this year and last year? I'm kind of guessing that there's a lot of a difference between the way farmers are looking at their crop.
Well, and even the tour, yeah, good point. The tour came out and said when it finished up that unlike last year, central Kansas and central Oklahoma were not going to be there to offset the disrupted weather of the pattern of the western belt in the hard red wheat country. This week, you know, I heard from clients in the panhandle of Texas, clients in western Kansas, And both of them, all of them, have said to me over the last 3 weeks that their crop continues to decline. Even the crop conditions report shows that. I mean, you look at Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas, and you have, on average, 60% or two-thirds of that crop in very poor and poor condition. And those producers in those regions are saying, I don't care how much rain I get, it's not going to help that very poor and poor wheat. And if they're on top of that, like I said earlier this week, we think we had a frost out here in western Kansas that probably did some more damage to already vulnerable weeds. So I think there's quite a bit of difference between this year and last year, especially as we head into the third week of May.
Okay, so that would spike or maybe push wheat prices higher, drag corn along with it, but then later on, there might be some out-of-condition wheat that would have to be fed to livestock, right? And that would
You bet. That's exactly right. And I think later on, I think what you want to do is keep in mind that you've got a deflationary bias building in the global economy. And so whatever supplies we do lose right here, right now, in the micro fundamental support, I think down the road, the macro side could also work against you. A firming dollar could work against you. And I think that's what you don't want to get too crazy in love with the long side of markets when it's a supply-led market. And look how violent it's been the last 4 weeks. I mean, traders love it, but, when we're hedging and we're trying to lock in cost of production and profit, it's not very fun, these supply-led markets.
All right, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He joins us from his Atchison, Kansas office on this Friday afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Don't forget to visit us online at willag.org. There you'll find our Commodity Week program, or stay with us if you can on our home radio station. That'll come up shortly. Jerry Golke will be our guest today.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
In agricultural news, the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis says that farmland values fell in the first quarter across much of the U.S. Midwest. The average value of agricultural land in the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis's district, which includes parts of large corn-growing states Illinois and Indiana, fell 6% in the first quarter compared with the fourth quarter of last year. Prices for non-irrigated farmland in the Kansas City Federal Reserve's district, which includes Kansas and Nebraska, declined 1.4% over the same period. The average value of quality farmland in the St. Louis Fed's district fell to $5,496 an acre in the first quarter, down from $5,868 an acre in last year's fourth quarter. House and Senate negotiators yesterday unveiled a compromise bill that authorizes billions of dollars for water projects over the next decade. The legislation will authorize 34 projects in virtually every region of the country. Congress would have to pass separate legislation to pay for all of the projects included in the bill. The Senate's version would authorize about $12.5 billion over the next 10 years, while the House's version would cost about $8.2 billion. The compromise is expected to land somewhere in between the two, but a Congressional Budget Office estimate is not yet available. Informa Economics predicts in its May review that U.S. farmers will plant 82.1 million acres to soybeans and 91.6 million acres to corn. Informa's soybean estimate is 580,000 acres higher than USDA's prospective planting estimate last March, while the corn estimate is 110,000 acres lower. Informa increased its estimate of prevented planting acres by 490,000, bringing the national total to 3.6 million acres. The adjustment comes mostly from a 500,000-acre increase in North Dakota. On corn, a bulk of the reduction came from the Western Corn Belt, but was partially offset by increases in Nebraska, the Eastern Corn Belt, the Mid-South, and other areas outside of the traditional Corn Belt. Informa says the largest soybean acreage increases will be in Illinois and Missouri, with both adding 400,000 acres. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both of those programs you can find online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. In fact, that second program will record and air on our home station at least in just a few minutes, starting at 2:36 Central Time. If you're interested, stay with us. If you cannot pick us up live, go back to the website at willag.org by about 4 o'clock Central Time this afternoon, and you'll be able to hear what Jerry Golke of the Golke Group has to say about the commodity markets. He'll join us along with Merrill Crowley and Bill Gentry and Brian Stark. Commodity Week, that's our weekly look at what's happened in the world of agriculture. Now, up next, you know, planting progress has been slowed, of course, by rain, but weed emergence continues despite those wet fields. I'll have more on a new weed farmers throughout the Corn Belt need to look for, scout for, and spray for right now. Be aware, writes Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager on a University of Illinois website, that Palmer amaranth has begun to emerge. He found the weed in a field west of Kankakee, Illinois, May the 8th, and then again on the 15th. This time, the largest Palmer amaranth plants were approximately 2 inches tall with 6 to 8 true leaves. Extension weed scientists in Iowa and Ohio have reported finding emerged Palmer amaranth plants in their respective states, too. They are all aware completing corn and soybean planting will assume top priority when field conditions are again suitable. However, each urges farmers not to overlook the need to control emerged Palmer amaranth in fields already planted. The return of warm air temperatures coupled with ample soil moisture will help amaranth plants grow very rapidly. Hager, as a reminder, says post-emergence herbicides should be applied before Palmer amaranth plants are taller than 4 inches. It's not advisable to delay application of post-emergence herbicides until additional Palmer amaranth plants emerge. Delayed application of post-emergence herbicides, whether by choice or due to adverse weather conditions, can lead, he says, to disastrous outcomes. Palmer amaranth continues to germinate throughout much of the growing season, making it altogether likely that additional Palmer amaranth plants will emerge following the initial post-emergence herbicide application. If this is the case, Hager still thinks a farmer should consider including a soil residual herbicide with the post-emergence herbicide to control additional Palmer amaranth emergence and allow the crop to gain a competitive advantage over later emerging weeds. You can read more from Aaron Hager on Palmer amaranth, its emergence and control on the Bulletin website. The address is bulletin.ipm.illinois.edu.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Let's check now the cash grain market in Everly, Iowa. That's the northwestern portion of the state where Ben Pruce is on the phone line, as he is each and every Friday. Hi, Ben. How are you today?
Hey, good, Todd.
Well, the weather there, I think, may be better than we are here. We're only 49 degrees and kind of cloudy. How about you?
Sure. Yeah, no, I think we're sitting here at 55, close into approaching 60 degrees here this afternoon. And we kept hearing about a frost warning last night. Blankets were all over the flowers. And some say it did. Most say it didn't. And I really don't think it did.
I suppose you have corn up and it didn't bother it, right?
No, not at all. You know, here in Northwest Iowa, as far as an emergence, you know, it's been a little bit cool stuff. We're starting to see, you know, maybe 5-10% emergence on the corn side. But here at, starting today and all through the 10-day, we're headed back towards 70, 75 degrees here in the 10-day, and we're going to it's going to just be ideal.
Ideal. Will you get back in the field soon, or have you been out?
No, they're running today. We've only got beans left. We're done planting corn. I would say we're approaching 40, 50, 60% on beans, depending on who you talk to. But most guys that I talk with, have good relationships with, they're hoping by tomorrow they're wrapped up on beans.
Running a day sounds like a good thing. I suppose that means you have a little pop in your basis or not?
A little bit. Basis wants to climb up just a little bit, but it's just been kind of a seasonal move, obviously, with guys being in the field. It's just a game of whack-a-mole, and when the bases pop, it's who can get there first.
Yeah, what's your bid for the day?
Here today, we are 448 cash corn and 1430 cash beans.
Thanks so much, Ben.
Thanks, Doug.
Ben Pruce is with the Andersons at their Everly, Iowa facility. Back in 2 minutes, we'll talk about the weather forecast.
It's St. Honorandus Day. He's patron saint of bakers, pastry chefs, and flour merchants. On this day in agricultural history in 1832, Philip Danforth Armour was born. An American industrialist, he was a pioneer in the use of refrigeration and meat canning. Armour & Company helped make Chicago the meatpacking capital of the world. His company was one of the first to employ an assembly line technique. In 1861, John Stevens Henslow died. The British clergyman and botanist was a mentor of Charles Darwin. to get farmers to apply scientific methods, he gave lectures on the fermentation of manure. He also showed Irish farmers how to get starch from rotten potatoes during the potato famine of 1845 and 1846. In 1947, Sir Frederick Gowland Hopkins died. He discovered what we now call vitamins, essential nutrients needed in animal diets to maintain health. Hopkins, who received the Nobel Prize in 1929 for his discovery, was expelled from high school for truancy. He then became an insurance salesman, and he was 28 years old before earning enough money to attend medical school. And in 2005, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Michigan and New York could not prohibit people from buying wine online from out-of-state wineries. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise. Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Find us online at willag.org. Now here's Jim Angel, climatologist with the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, with an update of the weather forecast.
The first half of May has been warmer and wetter than average for most of Illinois. The statewide temperature for May so far is 61.2 degrees. That's 1.4 degrees above average. Precipitation varied from 3 to 6 inches in the eastern half of the state and in the southwest as well. Much of the western and central part of the state received 1 to 3 inches. The Climate Prediction Center released their forecast for this summer. In Illinois for June, there is an increased chance of below average temperatures north of Interstate 74 and an increased chance of above average precipitation south of Interstate 74. For the period June through August, the increased chance of below-average temperature lingers in the northern third of the state. The National Weather Service forecasts indicate a slow warming trend over the next few days. Highs will be in the low 60s on Saturday and in the mid-60s on Sunday and near 70 on Monday and into the upper 70s and 80s on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Lows on Sunday and Monday morning will be in the 40s and warm up into the 50s and 60s by the end of the week. It looks like a quiet week for precipitation with only a slight chance on Thursday and Friday.
Our thanks to Jim Angel for his update of the agricultural weather forecast. Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago on the weekly trade, the high and the low for the session all week long, and the weekly change Friday to Friday. In the corn pit nearby July, remember the maize expired. The July had a high this week of $5.06 and a quarter, the low at $4.80 and a quarter. July corn at $4.83 and a half, finished down 24 cents. That near its 50-day moving average. December corn futures, the new crop, down 17 and three quarters at $4.81 a bushel Friday to Friday. Soybeans, nearby July contract, a high for the week at $14.96, the low at $14.60 and a half, a settlement price down 22 at $14.65. A new crop November, Friday to Friday, settled at $12.21 and a half, down 4 3/4. Bean meal at $480.20. And the bean oil at $40.75. By the way, the bean oil was down 43 cents for the week. Soft red winter wheat, $6.74 and a quarter. The settlement price in the July contract, down 48 and a quarter cents. The high at $7.22 and a quarter. The low on the week at $6.70 and a half. The hard red July at $7.67 and three quarters, finished 61 cents lower for the week. June live cattle, $137.90. The settlement price on the week, down 15 cents. The August feeders at $193.32 and a half, are up $1.95. And the June lean hogs this week settled at $118.92 and a half, down $1.25 from their settlement price last Friday. Remember, you can always find us online at willag.org. There you'll find all of the agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media. If you follow Twitter, you can look us up there too. My handle is at Commodity Week. This agricultural program comes to you from the University of Illinois.